Well, I'm thankful to be here today. I don't know a whole lot of you, but I'm going to, I never normally really sing this song as a solo, so you all know it really well, but it's called I Must Tell Jesus, and I've been trying to talk to him a lot lately with all the changes that we have going on, and it seems like a lot of you have a lot of things that you have heavy on your heart, and a lot of people are going through some hard times, and I don't know anything to tell you, but just tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver, make all my troubles quickly an end. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
I appreciate both of those good songs. And aren't you glad that we don't have to bear it alone? When the troubles and the trials of life come our way, as Brother Wheat mentioned this morning, a quotation from King Solomon and long ago, that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'm thankful today to know the Lord Jesus and to have him as my friend.
Well, wonderful blessing. Danny is still real sick this morning, but you know, I just have to tell Jesus, me, I stand right out of my hands. I can't do anything about it, but I just feel so good in my heart today. And y'all remember Ralph as he stands tonight over at Faith, and he's got several appointments this month, and I just want to be where that I can help him and hold him up and be what I should be. Sometimes I feel like I don't do enough for the Lord, but I want the Lord to forgive me if I don't, and I take it to him all the time. But pray for me that I'll be a better servant for him.
Amen. Amen. May God bless you, Sister LaVon. Appreciate that good talk. I would like to call your attention to some scripture found in the fourth chapter of the book of Esther. I'm going to begin reading there with verse 1. I want to spend a little bit of time this morning in this book and speak about four people. One of them was a Persian king by the name of Ahasuerus. The other, a queen by the name of Vashti. And then two Jewish people that, according to what we read in these scriptures, I suppose were cousins. Sometimes it's hard in the Bible to tell exactly, because sometimes they talk about somebody being someone else's father when it actually meant their grandfather. But in this writing, we are told that Esther was the daughter of Mordecai's uncle. And so I want to talk about this king, this Persian king Ahasuerus, Queen Vashti, Mordecai, and Esther. Some have disputed the validity of the book of Esther, for one main reason, because in the whole book it doesn't actually say God. But my feelings on it, if you can read this book and not see the working of God in it, you need to read it again. Because it's a book that just really, to me, when I read it, it just screams out an exclamation about the providence of God. And so I want to read some verses from Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of his king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave them the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. And here's where I want to place a lot of the emphasis of my thoughts today. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That's reading verses 1 through 14 from the fourth chapter of Esther. The title of my message today is Your Time in the Kingdom. I want you to think today about your own particular time in the kingdom of God. Now, we're talking about a kingdom at this time. When Mordecai mentioned this kingdom, he was talking about a natural kingdom. It was really a kingdom to show forth the kingdom that is here today. We have the privilege, as I mentioned last week, I believe it was, we have been given the privilege in the day that we live in of being subjects even to a much greater kingdom. But I want you to consider that thought because, you know, I believe that when God saved each one of us, and I want to talk primarily today to those who have experienced the blessing of being saved and the privilege of being a member of the Lord's church. I believe that for every one of us, that at the very time that God saved us, He had a purpose for our lives. I don't believe that it was just that God would have a purpose later. It might be later when He would reveal it to us exactly what it was, but I believe at the very point that He spoke peace to our soul, He had a purpose for us in this life. And I also believe that God has ways of showing to us, and He will use ways of showing to each one of us exactly what that purpose is. God doesn't want us to be blind. You know, that's one of the big problems that I have with the teaching that people seem to teach today, where they say that you can't really know that you've been saved. I'll tell you what, God doesn't want a bunch of children that don't know they're His children. God wants children that know exactly where they stand with Him, and He wants people that know exactly what it is that He wants them to do. So He doesn't leave us in the dark about those things. I believe that God shows us exactly where He would have us. And let me say this, because I have heard this many times and I have struggled with it in my own life. If you find yourself in a place, in a spiritual condition where you don't know what the will of God is, you need to find out. You need to get on your knees before God, and you need to know what God has for you in your life. Because our lives are to be about Him. You know, when God saved us, he did not save us for our own purpose. He didn't save us for us to just go off and to do all the things that we might desire to do. He saved us for Christ's sake and that we might be used of him. You see, he didn't save us only to benefit us. He saved us to give glory to him. And I want to, one day I know that I am going to stand before the Lord. And again, Brother Wheat mentioned this in our Sunday school lesson this morning. He said that we're going to stand before him. And you know what I say? Amen. I believe that. I believe the Bible is very plain about that, that we are going to stand before the Lord and we are going to account to God for our lives. Now, you may worry sometimes about what people may think about you. You may worry about what somebody else may think about you. But let me tell you, the best thing that every child of God can do is stay focused on the Lord and stay where God would have you to be, because when it all is said and done, he's the one we're going to have to account to for our lives. Esther was just about to miss her purpose. And Mordecai, I believe, thank God for his spiritual perception. He saw what was about to happen with her. You know, the king Ahasuerus, he got, well, for lack of a better term, I mean, this is what happened. He got himself drunk with wine. And Queen Vashti was a very beautiful woman. And all of these other men had made their, around Ahasuerus, had made their hearts merry with wine too, I believe. And he wanted to bring her in and parade her before them and to let them look upon her beauty. And she refused to go. There in that day, things were much different than what you and I, the day that we live in today. And she refused to appear that way. And what ended up happening was he dethroned her. He took her queenship away. And this Jewish girl, Esther, and I'm just going to have to summarize this because there's so much to it. But what ended up happening was this Jewish girl, Esther, ended up being the new queen. And the men that were around Ahasuerus when this happened, when the queen refused his order, the men that were around him came to him and said, "You've got to do something about this, because if our wives get wind of this, they might not mind us either." And they didn't want that. They didn't want those things to be said and to be done. You know, I thought this morning when I thought about this, I thought that those of us here today that are married men, we may wish that Brother Wheat wouldn't have spoken about the woman in the Bible dropping something on her husband's head from the wall there. But they didn't want this to be known. And so they came to the king and they persuaded him of this. And he ended up taking her queenship away from her and giving it to Esther. Now, I spoke in this earlier that I believe that the book of Esther is a book of that shows us the great providence of God. Providence is the benevolence or the benevolent leadership and guidance of God in our lives. That's what providence is. The way that God goes before us and sets things in order before us. Friend, listen today. I want you to know this, that if you're God's child and you're a member of his church, God is setting in order things before you Because he knows the way that he wants your life to go. He knows where he wants you to be. God knows how to strategically place things in our life to get us to the point where he wants us to be. And one day when I stand before him, my greatest desire is to stand before God, and when I account to him, to have God happy with what I did rather than anybody else. Because I know that my life's going to pass quickly, and people can throw darts at me if they want to. I just want to please the Lord. I remember reading about Paul at a time when Paul said that he had to stand alone. He said, at my first answer, I had to stand alone. But he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Friend, listen, keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the things that God would have you to do. You may have times where you'll have to stand alone, but if God is with you, you won't feel like you're alone. You'll know that you have the best company that you could possibly have. What a sad thought that it would be and should be for any child of God to think that God has for us exactly what he would have for us to do, the way that he would have for you and I to spend our time in the kingdom, because God certainly has that for us, just like he had it for Esther. And what a sad thought it ought to be to any of us to think that in our short time here on the earth, in the small opportunity that we have to get things right, that we would miss out on the very purpose for God putting us in the kingdom in the first place. I'll tell you what, you may look back over your life one day, and you may regret things that happened along the way. You may regret situations. You may look back and you may see things better. You know, sometimes things are clearer when you look back, aren't they? Sometimes hindsight really is 20/20. You may see things and you may think, I wish I would have handled that better. But to me, the saddest thought for any child of God would be to look back and to say, you know what? It was right there before me, and I missed it. I missed it. I missed what God would have me to do. And I believe that was just about to happen to Esther because of the position that she was in. You know, because of a wicked man in this book by the name of Haman, the Jews were in a bad condition. I mean, there was grave danger for the Jews because of the deception of Haman. But God was looking out for them. God was watching out for them. And there was a decree that, you know, you couldn't just walk in there before the king anytime that you wanted to and see him. And because of that, when Mordecai sent word to Esther of what it was that she needed to do, she used that as an excuse and sent word back to him and said, you know, I can't just go in and do this anytime that I want to. But Mordecai's response to her was, well, listen, Esther, if you don't do it, God's going to get it done some other way. There will enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And don't you think that just because you're in the king's house that you're going to escape it? Because if you don't do what God would have you to do, you and your family are going to pay the price for it. And friends, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it's still that way today. I believe if we miss altogether the things that God would have us to do, there's going to be a price that's going to be paid for that. And there's no place in this world among your family or among your friends or among a fortress or wherever it is, there's no place in this world that you can hide from the Lord. Jonah found out that you couldn't run away from him on a ship, didn't he? And so he told Esther, "Esther, if you don't do it, God will deliver us another way. Enlargement and deliverance will rise to the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house are going to suffer for this." And I believe she would have. And who knows? You know what we want to do is not what counts, is it? That's not what counts. I'll be honest with you. I'll lay my heart on the table before you today. If God had given me a choice of what he wanted me to do in his kingdom, I wouldn't have chose preaching. I think a lot of my preacher brothers feel that way. We didn't choose the job. That's what God had for us. You know, what's important is what God wants us to do and the way that God wants to use us. And I believe that through providence, I believe that God placed Esther exactly where he wanted to be at this exact time, and that's exactly how God intended to use her. Well, I'm thankful that she stepped up to the plate and she finally agreed to do it. And you know what she said? She said, "If I perish, I perish." Let me tell you something. I don't want to disillusion anybody. If you do the will of God in your life, it'll cost you. Service without sacrifice doesn't exist. That's what's wrong with so many of our churches today and so many of God's people today. We want to have our cake and eat it too. But you know, the very founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ the Lord, if we look at him, and we ought to look at him as our primary example in everything, if we look at the very Son of God, it cost him dearly to come here and to do the will of the Father. He suffered. He died. He was mistreated. But all that he wanted to do was do the will of God. At the age of 12 years old, when he was left behind in Jerusalem and his parents came back, he said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" There when in the fourth chapter of John, when he was talking to the woman at the well and his disciples came to him and wanted him to take meat, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And that ought to be the attitude of the people of God today, that our meat is to do the will of our Heavenly Father, and we must be about his business and doing what God has called us to do. Because whatever it is, it doesn't really matter what you and I think about it, because here's what's important: that God has brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. Someday I realize that people may completely forget about me, but I sure hope they won't forget the one I preached about. I don't regret anything I've done for the Lord. I regret things I haven't done for Him. I want to talk for a few moments about a young man named Joseph. You read from the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis through the 50th chapter about the life of Joseph, and what an example of the providence of God in the life of someone. His father loved him, had a special love for him, I believe above that of his brothers, and they were jealous because of that. And one day out, when his father sent Joseph out to check on his brethren, they, because of their jealousy, they devised a plan to just kill him and throw him in a pit and deceive their father by saying he had died by a wild beast. He had been attacked by a wild beast and died. And Reuben, the oldest brother, I suppose, feeling a responsibility to him, he said, "Let's not do this. Let's just put him in a pit," hoping to go back and later and deliver him. And they put him in a pit. And before Reuben could get back to him, there was a band of Midianite merchants, Ishmaelites, that came by, and they sold their brother into their hands. And they took him into Egypt. Joseph had dreamed dreams. He had dreamed a dream there and about being out in the field and gathering, making their sheaths there, and his standing up and his brother's sheaths bowing down to his. He dreamed a dream about the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowing down before him there, and his family was angry. I'm going to tell you what I believe about it. The Bible doesn't say it in these words, but I'll tell you exactly what I believe about it. I believe that God was right in the middle of Joseph's dreams. I don't believe he was just dreaming dreams for no reason. God knew that those dreams would cause Joseph problems, but I'm persuaded that God was sending him those dreams and wanted him to tell those dreams to his family, knowing that they would get him into trouble, because God had a long-range plan for the life of Joseph and for the life of those people. Brother Wheat this morning, and I hope he don't mind me using him as an example, but Brother Wheat this morning spoke about how if we sin against God, how that the Bible teaches us in Exodus 20 that it can affect our posterity to the third and the fourth generation, that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren can suffer from you and I disobeying God and living a life that's contrary to God. But let me say this also, and that, to me, that's a sobering thought, and that's a scary thought, that something that I could do could affect my children and my grandchildren that way. But thank God for this, that what we do for the Lord can affect them in a positive way also. And what God wanted to happen with Joseph here was not just for the sake of Joseph. It was for the sake of that whole nation of people, because there was something in the future that God knew about that was going to happen, where he needed Joseph to be exactly where he was going to be. God needed Joseph to be in that pit. He needed him to be sold into Egypt the way that he did. God was in control of all of it. There was great providence at work that they just didn't know about. Walking with the Lord doesn't only affect us. You know what we need to do? And I'll just be blunt and plain about it. Sometimes we need to just get over ourselves. That's what we need to do. We need to just get over ourselves and realize that this thing is bigger than us. And it affects more than just you and I. So they sold him into Egypt. Joseph got down there into Egypt. He was bought by the right-hand man to Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, by Potiphar. Potiphar purchased him from those merchant men. And God, the Bible keeps telling us in all this that the Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph rose to a position with Potiphar that Potiphar trusted him so much that he just gave him charge of all of his matters, all of his business matters and everything. He just turned it all over to Joseph. But Potiphar had an evil wife and she tried to seduce Joseph. But Joseph was a man of integrity and he refused it. And he ended up getting falsely accused. And Potiphar had him thrown into prison, but in the prison there, the chief butler and the chief baker also got thrown in there, and they began to dream dreams, and Joseph could interpret the dreams. And he did. They both dreamed a dream, and they came to Joseph, and the butler was glad he came, and the baker wasn't. Joseph told the butler that his dream meant that he was going to be restored to his position. He told the baker, he said, you're going to lose your life. And they did. Well, you know, sometime later, and Joseph got out of prison, and he became Pharaoh's right-hand man. And Pharaoh began to have dreams about seven fat cows and seven scrawny cows and seven full ears of corn and seven little bitty ears of corn, and the dreams troubled him. And you know, the butler came to the Pharaoh and he said, you know, I remember this Hebrew back in the prison that could interpret people's dreams. And Pharaoh had Joseph brought before him and he interpreted those dreams and he said, they both mean the same thing. The cattle and the corn mean the same thing. There's going to be 7 years of famine and there's going to be 7 years of drought or seven plenty years and 7 years of famine. And in those years of plenty, you're going to need to lay up in store all the grain that you can to get you through the 7 years of famine. And the Pharaoh was thankful for that. And Joseph was exalted to a high position. You see where God put him? God took him out of the pit, placed him in Egypt, took him out of the prison, placed him in the house of Pharaoh under his command as his right-hand man. If you don't think that's true, just read the scriptures, because it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Providence. God was laying the path out before him. Joseph may not have enjoyed the prison. I'm sure that he didn't. You know, let me tell you something, friends. I think we need to understand that the way that God lays before us, the course that God lays before us, he never promised us that it would always be smooth, did he? You know, many times the children of God, they begin to pursue their course, and the first obstacles that they come up against, they turn and they run. You know, we've got too much Israelite in us. We face the Red Sea and we want to run back to Egypt. But God never promised us that things would always be easy, did he? Where'd we ever get the idea of easy Christianity? We didn't get it from the scriptures, did we? There's sacrifices to be made along the way. Joseph had some rough times. But there finally came a time when his family back there in Canaan, they had to go to Egypt because the famine was so grievous. They had to begin to go to Egypt to get the grain. And at first when they went there, Joseph didn't reveal to them who he was. Didn't tell him who he was. Later, they all came there. You know, I'm having to summarize so much of this, but I want you to go home and read those chapters. Read from Genesis 37 through Genesis 50. I think I've read them 500 times in my life. They are so rich. In the 50th chapter of Genesis, Joseph begins to tell them about the plan that he realized that God had for his life. Genesis 50, verses 19 through 20. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." You know what Joseph told his brethren when they got down there? He said, "God sent me here before you to preserve your life." Joseph didn't know that when he was thrown down in that pit, did he? All he knew was that his brethren had mistreated him. That's all he knew. It wasn't until years later that he really knew and understood what God had done by that. And you know, when you take up the work of the Lord, you don't always know what's going to come of it. But I'll tell you what, listen, many of you sitting right here today, having been members of the church here for many, many years, no doubt have seen many things throughout your life. Know this, that no matter what our perception may be, and I think for most it's generally good, but know this, if this is where God had you to spend these years, He had a reason for it. Some things I didn't want to do along the way, but God had a reason for it. Will you give yourself to the Lord? Will you? I mean, will you really, honestly, genuinely give yourself to the Lord? Big question, isn't it? Will you do like Isaiah and say, "Here I am. Here I am. Just send me, take me, use me." You know what? God has the right to use us. God has the right to lead us to the place where He wants us to be, no matter what He leads us through to get us there. If there's a pit involved, if there's a prison involved, whatever kind of hardship that it is, God has the right to take us from where He would have us, to where we begin, to where He would have us to be, by any course that He chooses. Do you think when God led Israel out of Egypt on the Exodus, do you think that He didn't know the Red Sea was where it was? Do you think He didn't know before they even got there that He was leading them towards that? Well, sure He did. But He also knew He had a way to deliver them, and a way that He wanted to show His power and to show His glory. And He certainly showed it in the life of Esther and Mordecai and Joseph and so many others. God will lead you. He will lead you And wherever it is that he wants you to be, if you trust him, he'll get you there. The Lord will get you there. He'll place you right where he wants you to be if you'll just give everything over to him. So thank God for the providence that he exercises in our lives. How many times, and I'll close with this question. How many times, think about it in your Christian life, how many times have you gone through something, and when you were going through it, you just said, I don't understand this. I don't get it. I don't know why these things are happening. I don't know why these things are coming up on me. And you get on the other side of it. Maybe you get a year past it. Maybe you get a couple years past it. Maybe you're 6 months past it. And you get on the other side of it, and you look back and you say, I can see just exactly what God did with me through those times. We've had those things happen. I know I've heard the testimonies of many people. I just didn't understand it at the time, but when God let me look back at it, I could see clearly what he had done. And that's what happened to Joseph. When he looked back over the years and he saw all the things that he had been through and he saw where God put him, he knew that God had sent him there to preserve the life of the Israelite people. And how important that was. I appreciate your attention today. I really do. And I hope that that there's been something said that's been a help to somebody in some way. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Remember service tonight at 6 o'clock.